The following podcast contains explicit language on explicit topics. Thanks for listening to Afterthought, an anonymous podcast for sexually active and dormant women. I'm your host, Epiphany Evans, and today with me is Co Shayla. What up, Co? Coco.
What's up? How are you?
Doing well. She let me pick the name, so I had to go all out.
Yeah, it's a baller-ass name. I like it. I like it a lot.
So, Co Shayla, let's take it from the top. Where does your sexual evolution begin?
Yeah. For me, it begins really early on in life. I am failing to remember, like, the exact age, but it had to be somewhere, when I was, like, 5 or 6. And basically, it was just, like, I think I had, like, a pillow between my legs, or somehow some friction was happening between my legs. And I was like, oh, that feels interesting. Let me, like, continue to do that. And I did, and I don't remember how it ended. I just kind of, like, fell asleep, or it just ended. But from then on, I was like, this feels really good. And then once I hit puberty, probably around, like, age 9 or 10, it was, like, it was done. It was done. And by that time, too, like, the internet was starting to become a thing.
Right.
So I was moving on to other sources to please myself. Not that I don't go back to the pillow every now and again. It's nostalgic, you know?
Old school.
Yeah. Seriously, to this day, sometimes I might... I might just do that. But yeah, it started really young when I was 5 or 6. I'd also knew that I, like, cared much more about what women thought about me than men, even at that age. And I didn't know what that meant, obviously, at that time. I didn't really care. And I wondered, like, why do I care so much what women think about me as opposed to men? And that kind of just started, like, my thought process and my sexual journey, if you will, in terms of, like, exploring myself and learning what I like and what I don't like and what I'm attracted to and what I'm not attracted to.
So you hit puberty about, you said, 9, 10?
Yeah, I think that's when I, yes, like, 9, I mean, so that's when I got my period, when I was, like, 9 or 10, like, fifth grade?
It's kind of early.
Maybe 6th grade, yes, yeah. But I was developing, like, kind of faster than that. Like, I had, like, hair under my armpits. I had a little bit of a chest before then. And then once that happened, it just kind of all full bloomed. But, yes, I was, even for, like, my grade, I know I was early. There was only, like, one or two other girls that I knew of that had gotten their periods at that time. I also went to a private Catholic school from kindergarten all the way till I graduated high school. So you can imagine that kind of environment.
Wow.
That I was in, going through all of these things. So it was, I had to learn a lot of it. None of it was kind of taught to me in terms of just in general sex ed. I think we watched one video in 6th grade that all I can clearly remember is how to use a tampon. That was really what I took from the video. I learned very little about sex, and especially like sex between two women or two men, or just not between a guy and a woman. And so I went to the internet to kind of, fill in the gaps. And for better or worse, I don't know. I'm here today and I know stuff, and I'd say I'm pretty decent at things. So, you know, it didn't turn out that bad, but I wouldn't recommend that for anyone growing up. Like, please talk to professionals. Porn's never the answer. I mean, it's great. It's fine, but it's not an educational tool. At least not as of yet. Maybe they'll venture into that route, you know? Because I feel like it could. Like, literally, if you're making porn, you could do it in an educational way where it's not, like, salacious and, like, people could watch it and, like, legitimately learn things. Like, I know porn stars, like, know a lot. And, you know, we were going to different topics, but whatever. I think porn could be a great tool if utilized correctly.
You're right. You had mentioned when you were younger and that you cared more about what, like, women or girls thought about you versus mm-hmm. men or boys.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't understand what that meant. When did right. you understand what that meant?
That was probably around, a lot of things happened in 6th grade for mm-hmm. me, mentally, physically. I had been pondering that since, you know, I kind of had, like, abstract thought and, you know, could understand as a child that, you know, I wanted my female teachers to like me more than my male teachers, or my, you know, female friends to be like closer friends with me than my male friends. And by the time I hit sixth grade, I had an amateur understanding of what like sex was, and I knew about, I was sexually attracted to women at that time. Having grown up in the environment that I grew up in, I was under the assumption that, well, one, it was always told that, you know, being gay is like sinful or bad. And I assumed that like everyone was normally attracted to the opposite sex, and that like that was just the default, and everyone was there, and that's how it was, and that you could be maybe, because I was like, well, I like women, I know I like women, and I'm supposed to like men, so maybe I'm like bisexual, and I can distinctly remember thinking about this in the shower, like when I'd go home on an almost daily basis. I don't remember if this was in sixth grade; it could have been in seventh grade. But I was like, well, that's gotta be why, you know, that I care more about, what women think about me than I do men. So maybe that means I'm bisexual. Maybe because I didn't want to be gay. It was too hard in like in the surroundings that I was in to kind of own up to being a lesbian or being gay. Because that was, I was taught that's not a thing, and like no good person could ever be that. But yeah, I think that was kind of what sparked it for me.
So about that time, were you developing crushes on other girls?
Oh yes. Yeah. I was, I literally, if we made eye contact, I was probably into you. I'm not even gonna lie. Especially if you were older than me. I have two older brothers. So like I was always kind of hanging out with older people, or they were just like around me if they're hanging out with them. And yes, I mean, pretty much every girl in my older brother's classes I had a crush on. There was a number of girls in my own class that I had crushes on. Even some of my, like my friends, you know, that were just like, I hung out with them. I talked to them each day, but I was like, you're kind of cute. I never told anyone any of them this, of course not. But I was like, yeah, no, I was staring at girls since before sixth grade. When I realized, again, like probably around like, I don't know, second grade, that I wanted like the attention of women, and I wanted them to notice me, and I wanted them to think I was cool, and like all this stuff. I guess that's when you can say I started having crushes on girls. Obviously, back then it wasn't a sexual thing. I just wanted them to like me as like a person. But yes, it quickly turned sexual, especially once I hit puberty, and I was like, and then the rest of the girls around me started to hit puberty, and I was like, okay, this is, I like this. This is kind of cool.
Wow. So then by the time you hit high school, this was continuing, you were having crushes. Were you?
Oh yes. Yeah.
At peace? Were you accepting of your sexuality?
I was internally, I mean, I accepted it within myself of like, I'm gay, or I like women, maybe I'm bi, I don't know yet, but at least I know I like women. I say I accepted that internally as in like, I was totally okay, like thinking those thoughts in my head and like having those thoughts and like being attracted to women, but the religious environment that I grew up in was obviously not accepting of that, so I definitely wasn't out to anyone. I like made it my duty to like try to be as like undercover as possible. Meanwhile, like the way I look now is with longer hair is how I looked my entire life. Like I've always been a tomboy. I've always dressed more masculinely. So I'm pretty sure I wasn't hiding this from anyone. But even to myself, I was like, this is not a thing. So I would like sit like farthest away from like any girl possible, like in school, in classes, or just like if there was like a dance, I'd be like, skirt, we're not, you know how like sometimes girls are like dance together, it's like, oh, we're friends having fun, like I would not do that, because I just didn't want anyone to even have the thought that I could be attracted to women, or you know, might possibly be attracted to women. Like I tried to dress as feminine as I could, but that's kind of where I drew the line. Was dressing better. But yeah, I was very kind of like, I pushed it away externally for me a lot, and that kind of fucked with my mental a lot, and it made me feel ashamed and, like, very bad about myself. And, like, I really honestly hated myself for a very long time. And it's hard coming out of it now, even still, that I've been out for a number of years. But, yeah, I accepted it within myself to a certain degree. But I definitely wasn't out to anyone, nor wasn't I in, like, any kind of healthy mental space about it at all.
Wow. And was this largely, I see, so we're coming to you live from Koshela's car, and I noticed some wooden rosary beads in her car. So as we all know, for a lot of non-straight persons, when you are brought up in the church, you tend to reject it once you've completed your upbringing. So then, judging by these beads, do you not reject it?
I mean, I guess I have different rules or different, like, definitions of what being a Christian is, as opposed to, like, what the Catholic Church might tell you being a Christian is. My mind is being a good person, which I think that I am. So I would call myself that. But in terms of, like, I guess what the outer perception of being a Christian would be, or being Catholic would be, no. I don't go to church really ever, unless I'm going home and my mom makes me. And I don't pray on a regular basis. I don't, like, do any of the typical Christian things. My mom gave me this, by the way, when I graduated from high school, or was it college? I don't remember. She gave it to me when I graduated from something. And I've just kind of kept it here because, I don't know, it looks nice and, like, it doesn't bother me. It's most of the time I forget it's there and I don't think about it, which is how I would consider, like, my religion. It's like, yes, going through it while I was a kid, I was like, I don't like this, it's boring, whatever. And then it got personal, you know, with the homosexuality stuff, and I was like, it started to make me feel bad personally. I mean, I was, like I said, I went to Catholic high school, so I still had to go through the motions of everything, but in terms of mentally how I felt about kind of religion and Catholicism and Christianity, I was more or less checked out at that point, just because of all of the messages that I had been receiving, which seemed backward to me in terms of, like, the underlying thought of, like, you know, this is supposed to be about love, and God loves you, and, like, you were made in his image, and, like, all this stuff. But it's like the stuff that's being preached around that seemed very counterintuitive, and, you know, kind of like the exact opposite of what, you know, what I assume Jesus or God would have wanted, you know.
You mentioned that your mother gave these to you. Mm-hmm. How has she dealt with your not being straight?
She has not dealt with it well at all. Mm-hmm. And from the jump, from the time that I, you know, had concepts about sexuality and who I was, which we'll say it's sixth grade when I was like 10, she's very, I wouldn't say religious, because she's not. She's just like, she cherry picks a lot of bullshit, but we'll call her religious in this sense. You know, she, like, goes to church all the time. She is a full-blown Catholic. Like, she made sure all of, like, myself and my brothers were all brought up, obviously, in the Catholic Church, and that's why we went to Catholic school, you know, for as long as she could keep us in that environment. And so I always kind of knew that she wouldn't be okay with this, and she always made, like, comments to me throughout my entire life. Like I said, I've always dressed more masculine. She's always kind of, like, scoffed at that and, like, has always been like, I don't like the way you dress, I don't like the way you talk, I don't like the way you behave, or, like, why? Not that I don't like it, but, like, why can't you be normal? Why don't you like normal girly things? Like, what's wrong with you? Or, like, anytime I'd show, like, interest in something, like, I was very athletic growing up, as were my brothers, because, you know, I wanted to, like, hang out with them and be friends with them. And she'd be like, no, you can't do that, that's for boys. Or, like, even down to, like, I don't know, like, toys. Like, you know, when you're a kid and, like, the toys you want to play with, she's like, no, those are boys' toys. Boys' toys. You need girls' toys. And there's always been, like, this contention between us. Even before it became, like, a sexual thing, it was always, like, you're not doing things the way, you know, God wants you to, or the way, like, society is kind of laid out right now. So we've always kind of butted heads on most everything when it comes to me. So I always knew that it was never going to be a pleasant conversation, and that was partly why I think it took me so long to come out in the first place, and why it was such, like, a mental, like, mind fuck growing up and getting to that point where I finally could feel comfortable enough to come out was because of these mind games my mom played with me, and like I internalized all of it, and it was just it was difficult, and I felt angry and upset all the time, and she would in turn like get more mad at me for being like angry and upset all the time, and think it's like this rebellious kind of like, I don't know, teenager thing, but it's like, no, I'm gay and you're mean. So I don't know what to do about it. Just be nicer to me, I think. And then I'll be happier. But yeah, she, I came out to her when I was 21, which isn't that long ago. But we were driving home from some place. I don't remember, but it was like a long drive. And I don't remember. Actually, I do. I do not. So I just graduated from college, and I was going off to grad school like in a few months. And I went to college in the same city that I basically grew up in. So it was like kind of, you know, going to college close to home. I was going to grad school in an entirely different state. So I knew I was going to be like going away. Little did she know, I had already been in a relationship with a girl for 2 years at this point. yeah. And I was like, I'm moving away. I'm moving with her, with my girlfriend. You know, and I don't want to like have this big thing on my chest, and I just want to like finally be able to be like open and honest with you. And like, you know, just like talk to you like how you do with my brothers, just like have, you know, have like a normal like relationship with mom. So I was like, I was very nervous about it the entire time, and this had been like months. Like I was like, oh, I'm gonna do it. Didn't do it. I'm gonna do it this time. Didn't do it. And it just kept pushing, and I was like, well, I'm gonna move, and I know if I don't do it before I move, it's never gonna happen, and so it's gonna be this weird thing. So we're driving home, and I just am like, Mom, I'm gay, and she's silent for like, I don't know, 3 seconds, and then she just starts crying, like pouring tears, and she's like, just like every kind of, I don't know, thing you see on television that's like the cliche of like, this isn't normal, if everyone was gay, how could like society survive, like that kind of, those kind of questions, and like, you know, God didn't make you like this, or you've never been with a guy before, so you know, you don't even know, you could be straight, you have low self-esteem. Like, literally, she said all of these things to me, and I was like, why do you think I have low self-esteem? Like, you're saying these things, and it's like, nothing's clicking in your head about any of this. Little does she know, I had already had sex with, I don't know, like, two guys at that point. I was like, I knew before I had sex with them that I was gay, and it's definitely confirmed now that I am gay. I didn't say any of this to her. She just kept kind of throwing these, like, all the fucking screwball things that you hear of, like, you know, when you're coming out to your parent, of like, you know, like, society can't survive like this, you're not normal, this is abnormal, God won't love you, you know, like, this is a phase, you're gonna come out of this, like, I don't accept this, I don't agree with this, blah, 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 blah. It was like a 2-hour car ride, right? So it got really intense, and neither one of us could, like, step away from the situation. And at one point I just remember like I just stopped talking, and I got really, really sad, and I started to cry, but I was trying to like hold it in, and I was like, I thought I'd feel better, you know, like coming out to you and like having you hear about who I really am. And like, I explained, like, I just want to like have this be open between us, so that we can have real conversations and like have a real relationship and not just talk, you know, or beat around the bush about a lot of things that we both know is going on. You raised me, you know me better than anyone. You know, this is true. And if you want to, you know, keep like denying that in your mind, fine. I know her and my dad had conversations, multiple conversations about my sexuality, the entire time I was growing up, just because of, like I said, the way that I dress, the way that I carry myself. And every single time my mom was just like, you know, she just denied it. And if that's fine, if that's what works for you and that's how you get through it, but I'm telling you, this is me, and I'm done like playing this game, and I'm not gonna pretend for you anymore. I'm not gonna try and be like, you know, this girly girl that you want me to be, or like I date some guy because you think it's the right thing to do. Like, this, I'm gay. This is who I am. And we basically ended the conversation of like, well, I don't accept that. I don't think you're really gay. I think this is just a phase. You've never been with a man before. You need to get some confidence. but I still love you and you're my daughter, more or less, is kind of how the conversation ended. And it's kind of not gone anywhere since then. That was 4 or 5 years ago. And we just kind of don't talk about it anymore. We're fine in the way that we've always been fine. But whenever it does get brought up, you know, it just turns into an argument between us. She hasn't, like, told any of her relatives or, like, family or, like, anyone, basically, in her life, you know, about me or, like, and I've been dating my girlfriend now for, I don't know, 6 years. And it just, and she's never met, like, her parents. Our parents have never met between me and my girlfriend. And it just, I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever get better, but I don't really care, so it's fine.
How does the rest of your family deal with it?
Yeah, so, like, my mom was the only person that I actually said the words to, like, I guess officially came out to, but after kind of how that all went, I was very terrified to say it to anyone else, and I was like, well, they'll just figure it out eventually, or just, like, already know, because you should, because look at me. but so, like, my dad called me later that weekend, because I think I was going away for, on, like, a family trip with my girlfriend, actually, that weekend, and he called me, and he was like, hey, you know, mom told me about, you know, the conversation, and I just want to say I'm so proud of you. My dad is messed up in many other ways, but in this regard, he has been so supportive and so nice and, like, so on my side about this, and just, like, yeah, he said, you know, I'm so proud of you. That took a lot of courage to say that, and I just want to... He's not a very emotional guy, so he doesn't really say a lot when it comes to, like, these kind of things. But yeah, he was just like, I'm very proud of you, and you know, we've had many conversations, me and your mom, about this in the past, so I know this isn't coming to her, like she said, like a shock out of nowhere, but just know that we're gonna work on it, or I'm gonna, you know, me and your mom are gonna be together forever, so I'm gonna continue to try to, like, talk to her, and, you know, maybe hopefully someday she'll come around. So my dad's been really great. I never officially said anything to my brothers. They've kind of just... like I said, like, assumed and or at least figured it out on their own and kind of gone along with the program. My girlfriend has met, you know, all of my family, all my immediate family, and they're cool with her, even her, my mom, which is like, but yeah, like, my brothers have been great. They don't, I was never really worried about them, and they've never really said much, but yeah, other than my mom, really my immediate family has all been great about it. And then with my extended family, like I said, I at least on my mom's side, just because we see them a lot more often than my dad's side of the family, just because they live closer, I assume they have the same mentality as my mom, so I haven't said it clearly, stated out to them, but they've met my girlfriend. I don't introduce her as my girlfriend. Like, here's so-and-so. They've all been really nice and cordial to her. I don't know if they just assume she's, like, a really close friend, or if they've also just gotten the hint as well. I don't know. But they are nice in person, so that's fine.
You mentioned that you did both undergrad and a master's. Yes. So was there any difference in your sexual development from your undergrad versus postgrad?
Oh, most definitely. So, I mean, I was not out throughout any of my undergrad. So kind of that same mentality that I had, you know, growing up as a kid and even in high school, of just, like, being even though I wasn't in that Catholic school environment, it was still, I don't know, hardwired in me. I was still very, very close to home. Like I said, I went to school, undergrad, pretty much in the same town that I grew up in. A lot of the same people that I went to high school with also went to the same school that I went to. So it was kind of like I was still in that environment, even though I wasn't technically in that environment. So I was not comfortable with myself. I was very insecure. I had low self-esteem. I didn't like who I was. You know, I wasn't a very confident person. Needless to say, I managed to find a girlfriend in dealing with all of that. She was also, or she didn't realize her attraction to women, before I came along. She had only ever been with men. And then we kind of had, like, a one-night stand, on a Halloween night. And then I was fully expecting to never talk to her or see her again. And we kind of didn't for like 4 months. We would text like randomly, but it was about nothing. And then I don't know, I was bored one night, after hanging out with my friends and I didn't want to go home, and it was like 2 in the morning, and I was like, hey, you know, what are you doing? You want to hang out? And she was like, yeah. And then, you know, the rest is history. But she had still, like, we didn't have sex that night, the second night that I met her. It was just a hangout. Like I said, she was still kind of discovering her own sexuality at this time, which was nice because we could both, while I knew very much that I was gay, she was discovering herself, so it was kind of helpful to both be going through it a little bit at the same time. And her just realizing kind of all this stuff helped me. And she helped me a lot just personally in terms of my confidence and my self-esteem, that I realized, you know, I like having a girlfriend is a real thing. This could be an actual legitimate life for me. This doesn't have to be some kind of like, I don't know, you know, under the bridge, secret society kind of thing. And she also she came from a very different background than mine in terms of, like, her family's not that religious. She went to public school, basically, you know, kindergarten through high school. So her perspective of being gay and homosexuality and all that stuff was much more progressive. And so she helped me a lot in terms of, like, realizing that I'm not a bad person, or I'm not, you know, I'm not evil, I'm not sinful, that this is normal, and that, like, you know, all of these ideas and things that my mom had like, inundated me with since I was a baby, trying to reverse some of that. But yeah, even after I met her, though, I will say I still didn't come out. We were both, I guess, technically in the closet together. So I still struggled, you know, with kind of accepting myself and being, you know, being who I really wanted to be. And even down to, like, the way I was dressing, was still, like, not how I really wanted to dress or carry myself or any of that stuff. But once I graduated, from my undergrad, I came out to my mom, and then I moved away, out of the state to where I went to grad school, and it was literally like a different person. I don't want to explain it, but like my confidence soared, I had self-esteem, I started dressing, the way I wanted to dress, and you could kind of see this just like light shining from me. And I never really I had friends before, of course, but I never, like, friends that I didn't feel like really knew me, because I was never comfortable to come out to them. I really didn't tell them, like, a lot of, like, deep personal secrets. One, because a lot of it revolved around my sexuality, which I was not comfortable with. But once I moved and I went to grad school and I met all these amazing people, and it was also art school that I went to, so it was just a complete 180 in terms of environment, in terms of, like, the coming from kind of, like, the most conservative, maybe not most, but, like, a very conservative, you know, religious environment to, like, an artsy, liberal, progressive, like, everyone has, like, pink and blue hair and, like, you know, wears, like, the classic fucking, like, art ho boots and, like, you know, that, it was, like, a complete 180, and, I thrived. I thrived like no one could ever thrive in their life before. I met so many new cool people. I was finally, like, out and was able to, like, be with my girlfriend and, like, go and do normal things and, like, just act like a couple, and get, like, couple friends, and I'm meeting, like, a bunch of other new gay people, and people all over the spectrum. It was amazing. Yes, it was honestly like a complete 180, and I've never looked back.
I feel like you'll have a very good body tale for me. Do you have one?
For sure, yes. I mean, we could run the gamut. I have thoughty male oriented tales, which are not great. And I have thoughty woman oriented tales, which are so delicious. But we'll go, the first ones that happened to me were male, so we'll say that. There was a guy, how did I know him? I think he was like a friend of a friend. I don't really remember how we met, but I believe he was a friend of a friend. I never even really talked to him that much. One day I'm sitting in my dorm room, I get a text from one of my best friends, asking, like, saying, this guy wants to meet you. And I was like, okay, cool, I guess it's kind of weird. But I was like, anyone at that point, I, like I said, my self-esteem was really low. I didn't have much confidence. Anyone that gave me attention, I was like, okay, you like me, so I automatically like you, even though I didn't. But I was like, I have no other prospects, so let's do this. So he comes over, to my dorm room. We don't have sex then. I think I gave him head. I don't know. I remember looking at the clock at one point thinking, when is, like, is this, did you come yet? I distinctly remember that. That's the only real, like, distinct memory I have from that night of, and it was like 3 a.m. and I was like, I think I have a test tomorrow. So, like, I had school tomorrow, and I remember telling him this, but I don't think it, like, registered. But I think I gave him a hand job and maybe a little head. He almost came on his face. I remember that too, because he got like mad at me, and I was like, that's not my, I don't, what do you want me to do about that? Sorry, move your face. but that was it. And then they were like, bye. And we still, it was like, he left the room, my dorm room. And there's like the dresser was like right next to the door, and there's like a mirror on top of the dresser. And I closed the door and I looked in the mirror and I was like, I'm definitely gay. And that was not my first time, cause we didn't have sex. But I was like my first like real sexual encounter with a guy. And I was like, no, I'm definitely gay. Didn't matter. Like a week later or something, I'm at home now on break from school. He texts me and he's like, hey, you want to like hang out? And hang out really just meant have sex, since we didn't do that last time. And I was like, yeah, cool, but you got to have a condom. Goes like, I don't know, around the world to get a condom. And I meet him in the parking lot of this like Christian Bible college that's like a mile or two down the road from where we both live, because we kind of lived in the same area, and we basically ended up having sex in his car in that parking lot, which I thought was so kind of like ironic, you know, that like we're in this like Christian Bible college parking lot having sex. And it like I said, it hurt a lot. It wasn't great. I wasn't into it. He seemed to enjoy himself, but I don't know, it lasted like 5-7 minutes maybe. And then it was done, and then I literally never talked to that guy again. And I don't know why. He doesn't like me now, for some reason. I think someone told him I was, like, maybe playing a mean joke on him or something. I wasn't. I just was, you know, like, struggling with my sexuality. It doesn't matter. He's a non sequitur in my life. But I just find it funny, the way that whole thing went down. And that was, and then every time now when I go home and I pass that college, I kind of get a little smirk and a little sad all at the same time. But that's how I lost my virginity. Was in the parking lot of some Bible college, like, school, in a car, with a guy. The second and last time that I've ever had sex with a guy was my 19th birthday, or, like, my 19th birthday either just passed or it was coming up, I don't remember. I'm at this house party, at school, in college, and I don't know, there's just some guy, like, at the party, and I was like, just wanted to hook up with anyone, but we kept making eye contact, and I was like, you're not that bad looking. I don't remember his name, it doesn't matter, but the apartment building that we were at was like set on the banks of a certain river that runs through the college that I went to, and there's this like overpass that was right near the building, so we go. Well, he, like, first, we, like, run through the building to, I don't know, he said he lived there, I think he was lying, he looked like he was not even in college, but he was, like, trying to find a room for us to go in, and I was like, you can't just go into any, like, random person apartment's, like, place, that's not how this works, so he was like, no, I live here, but then he couldn't, like, get into his apartment, so we went to, like, underneath this overpass by this river, and yeah, we basically did it, like underneath a dirty fucking overpass. And again, I don't know, it lasted like 5 minutes. We had both been drinking, so we were both drunk, and at one point he gives me his phone, I think to put my number in it, but I fall backwards into the river, and there's, like, broken glass and, like, you know, just, like, all this shit that, like, people had dropped, like, in the bed of this river, and I fall backwards, and I, like, drop his phone somewhere in the river and, like, gash my elbow, which you can still see. It's that one right there.
Oh, wow.
and a bunch of other things. I think it was a metaphor for, like, for, like, my life and me not needing to be with men.
The last portion of the show, we play a little game that's like truth or dare, but it's first or last. So you just choose first or last. Okay. And I give you a scenario to speak on.
Okay. Last.
Okay. Tell me about the last time you felt sexy.
Ooh. Was probably on Friday. Like, this past Friday. Black Panther was coming out that day, so I was already kind of just, like, in my, you know, in my feelings about that. And, like, yeah, you know, like, Black Panther, like, Black Power, whatever. and then I was dressed also in kind of all black, in these jeans and, like, some nice new Jordans that I got and, like, this fly-ass black bomber jacket. And, like, everyone said that I looked nice, you know, they gave me compliments. And this girl that I think is pretty cute that works at where I work, was also, like, she never really talks to me ever, but she was very talkative to me that day, and I was like, oh, okay.
Still got it.
Yeah, right? You know, yeah, so I was just feeling myself extra hard today, hard that day, and no one specifically said I look sexy. Maybe my girlfriend did, I don't remember. I should probably remember that one. but yeah, you know, I thought I looked nice, like, people validated that by saying that I look nice, and I got, like, extra attention or, like, more attention than I normally get from people that don't give me attention. So, yeah, I was feeling myself. The word sexy in regards to myself was not even a word that came to mind until I cut my hair, which was in June of June of 2017, which, again, was, like, I don't know, 6-7 months ago. Literally, it didn't. I would, if you would have asked me this question 6 or 7 months ago, I'd have been like, it hasn't happened yet. But I cut my hair, and I think I was just always meant to have this hair, or I don't know what, but people have just started to gravitate more toward me, or it's, like, my aesthetic now, like, the way that I look, is much more... It, like, flows better with my hair. Like, I look much more androgynous, where I think before with long hair and my outfit, I don't know. I also didn't take good care of my hair, long hair, when I had it, because, you know, it's shit's hard. I don't know. I just look, like, scrubby all the time when I had long hair. But now I look great, because I have short hair. People say I look great, so I believe them, because I've been conditioned to believe them, and I've been conditioned to need validation from people about the way I look. Thanks, Mom. You know.
Thank you again, Coach Shayla, for joining me here today in your car. I thank you for your bravery and your honesty. It's been a really good recording.
Yeah, thank you. I had a lot of fun. You know, and it's always good to talk some stuff out. So this has been interesting.
Thank you again to my guest, and thanks to you, the listener. Connect with Afterthought on iTunes by subscribing, and on IG by following Listen to A. Till next time.